Well, I trust that the Lord's given you a good day today, and whatever you've been doing, I pray that He's just given you the sweet grace to do it by His power and for His glory. And it's one of the things I try to pray for daily, is that, Lord, help me to do Your will by Your grace, with Your power, and for Your glory. And the Lord helps us to do that. He certainly does. And thankful that you're here. If you would turn in your Bibles to Micah, there in the Minor Prophets. It's there toward the end of the Old Testament. So if you get to find the last book of the Bible, Malachi, and just flip back probably about four or five books, and you will find it. All right, Micah. If you find Jonah, you just keep going to the right. Just keep going to the right if you find Jonah. Micah chapter 6. Micah chapter 6. We are doing a series now on the woke agenda and its influence on the churches and colleges. We want to certainly be aware of the things that are being said in our culture. So as Christians, we know how to answer. And not just to answer ones that have these different ideologies and philosophies. We want to know how to respond in a godlike way. A way that honors the Lord. Not the way James and John did at that one instance where they wanted to call down wrath and judgment upon the people that were opposing them. And Jesus said, you know not what spirit you are of. And that's a wrong spirit. But Jesus does want us to take a stand on biblical truth, a strong, firm stand on biblical truth, and to do it with love. So tonight we are going to be talking specifically on the subject of social justice. Now, last week we gave an introduction, just laying a foundation that what we find in this woke agenda is, and it's also, and I'm going to talk about this tonight, the term social justice doesn't necessarily mean a bad thing. It depends on who's defining it. because here's one thing's for sure. God's people should absolutely be for justice. And here's the thing that's perplexing, to an ideology, wokeism, that will teach, in the name of compassion, they say, they talk about justice, but they have no foundation for their justice, because in all of their ideology, guess who's missing in all of it? God. God. And in order to have true social justice or any kind of justice, you have to have God. Because God is just. And God is certainly one who has perfect justice. And I want to look at several of those aspects this evening. Would you look with me just for a moment, Micah chapter 6. We notice what is brought forth here from this prophet and about the character of God, even in the midst of people that were worthy of judgment, turning from Him. But he tells us here, and verse 8, let me just read that verse. It says, He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do what? Justly, and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. I do believe that God requires this of his people. God's people should love justice. We do want justice for all. It's in our pledge of the allegiance. Justice for all. We're for that. But not in a way that's going to undermine the authority of the Word of God. And that's what I want to refer to this evening, how we must be very careful. You see, the problem is not with the quest or the attempt or desire for justice. The problem is that what happens when the quest or the desire to accomplish justice is sought after from a framework that is not compatible with the Bible. So as a biblical worldview, we understand it's a very real problem when people talk about justice apart from the Word of God. And that's where we talked about last week with the strange philosophy and the philosophy of Marxism, also known today more so as neo-Marxism, socialism, critical race theory. We'll get into some of those things in the next few weeks. But, you know, Marxism talks about being about justice and compassion. But they define it in a different way than God defines it. You'll see, as I talked about, one promotes division, one promotes resentment, one promotes a guilt. And that is really, you'd study Marxism and that's the weapon of choice, is guilt. Make people feel guilty. But it's interesting how you compare that to Jesus' teaching and his practice, where Jesus transformed deep racial tensions into beautiful, spirit-empowered, reconciled communities. He preached in a way that the heart would be transformed in such a way that he even had to teach some of those that were his closest friends, such as those disciples who did not want to go up through Samaria. Those were deep racial tensions that were there that Jesus was seeking to break through. And I'm thankful that Jesus gave that testimony, says, I must needs go through Samaria. There was no racial tension in our Savior's heart. And he was teaching that. And that's what the Word of God teaches. But you see, Marxism, it pulls into these different avenues of identity, politics, that breeds divisiveness, suspicion of one another. It builds this, this stereotyping, and it's just, it's not of God. And we as God's people have to say, well, wait a minute, we believe in justice for all. We believe in people being treated rightly, but it is from a foundation, not from a man-made system. It is based upon the Word of God. The system. This system teaches that there is a system. You see, it's just interesting how it all works. I'm not an expert at this, but it just boggles me how it's the handle calling the kettle black. I mean, it's like they're accusing that there being an underlying system in the culture, but they are promoting a system, a philosophy of thinking. And what they are saying is that there's actually a system out there that is against social justice, one being a marriage, for instance, between a man and a woman. The family nucleus is a threat to what they promote and what they are going for. Now see, that's a problem. That's not true justice. They would teach that not only that, but gender binary is a threat. As I mentioned last week, the ethnicities of people, using terms such as whiteness, is a threat to social justice. And using the color of people's skin, which is racist in itself, folks. Make no mistake about it. When you judge someone's character by the color of their skin, that is racism. And that's what they do. They teach that certain ethnicities, that they are inherently racist. Specifically, those of white skin, they would say, if you're a white male, you are a racist, and really, that's the way you are, and you know what? You'll never be able to get over it. Well, this is what I say, and they are basing that off a system, but this is what I say. Well, actually, the Bible says that we are all sinners. And not only are we all sinners, but even with that, we are all equal, because we are all, every color, every ethnicity, we're all made in the image of God. But they want to divide that up. And that's racist, because they would even say, and by the way, it goes back to what a lot of this is built upon, this ideology. It's not just, you know what, Marxism got its strongest momentum. Do you know where Marxism got its strongest momentum? Charles Darwin. Evolution. Darwin was a racist. You read his material. He believed the Aborigines and those from Africa were of a lower class. He said those would be closer to our ancestors. They said they would be closer in that way. That's Charles Darwin. And he's the one being taught, his teachings, evolution, is being taught in our schools. They don't talk about that, do they? But social justice is, depending on who you're talking about, it can be a good thing. There's no doubt that God's people should be for the oppressed, and if someone is for the oppressed and for the marginalized and those that are poor and needy, I mean, our Bible is slam packed with how responsible we are for always reaching out to the poor. And by the way, I do believe that the church is failing in this. And a lot of times we get really mad at the government on how much they're wanting to take over, but we got to be careful. And we have a right to be upset the way they abuse money and the way they use it for selfish reasons and to build division. But I want to tell you this, before we get really upset, we need to check our own hearts and ask, how much are we doing for the poor? I mean, we can take inventory on that, right? We as a church should be doing that as individuals, as opportunities arise, and even looking for them to helping those in our community. God says a lot about helping the poor. So we believe in helping and being compassionate. But it's all based upon the fact that every person, man, woman, boy, and girl, are made in the image of God. It is not based on Marxism. It's not based on this man-centered idea, which brings great division and causes more problems than we really want to even think about. Because what does Marxism do? It places man at the center of reality. So everything revolves around him. And you're going to see characteristics of that and Marxism, because if Marxism teaches that we did not come from God, okay, we evolved. And so if humans evolved apart from God, as Marx believed, that means humans get to define the truth about being a human. And is that what we see happening? As one person said, for Marx, to be human is to be a creator of reality and of humanity itself by actively shaping and controlling our physical and social surroundings. Basically saying he believed that as humans work to shape the world in line with their own creative visions, they shape themselves. They are self-creators, which we would say to some degree, we are creators, but we would say it because we're made in the image of God, who's the great creator. They would say, as humans, we are able to bring out new qualities in themselves, develop themselves in production, transform themselves, develop new powers and ideas, new modes of social relationships, and so on. And we see that happening, but we have to understand what that's all based off of. And so tonight I want to just bring up a couple points here that I thought were interesting in an interview that I read. Sean McDowell was the one giving the interview. And he is a professor at Biola University, and he was interviewing a fellow professor by the name of Thad Williams. And I believe it was well done. I believe it was in the right spirit, because listen, we're not here to hurt anybody or to cast rocks or stones at anybody. What we're here to do is just to be able to explain where we come from. When people talk about social justice, you know, for instance, you go out in the world today and someone were to say, hey, are you for social justice? Well, if I were to say, well, no, automatically, oh, you're a racist. Because I define social justice different than the world does. And we have to be able to do that as God's people, to be able to do it with love. Say, no, wait a minute. Because this was a buzz phrase, if you will. I can't remember, it was a few years ago. I just heard about this, but the phrase was, so what you're saying is, you may have seen that in some memes and whatnot. So what you're saying is, and then that's where we as God's people have to say, no, so what you're saying is you're a racist. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying I just define social justice differently. I define it as God's people are commanded to care for the poor and to love them and try to help them. But I don't believe that is to be forced on anybody. For instance, I'll give you a quick example here. You know, a lot of times even churches, even Christian people will say, well, listen, haven't you read the book of Acts where they had all things in common and they gave all their money together? But and there in the book of Acts, even with Barnabas, you remember that? But it's interesting how they bring that text up and they twist it. And that's where we have God's people. We got to be discerning. They twist scripture. What is the whole context of that? We're not going to dive in it tonight. But listen, that was a voluntary offering. No one was forcing them to give that. They were doing it out of their heart. God had moved upon them. They wanted to be a help. And so they gave that. Of course, we know what happened when there were some that gave and pretended that they had given more. Ananias and Sapphira, we know what happened to them. As example of being liars. But you know, you understand that it's not forced upon us. We are commanded to, and Christians should, but we are not, the Bible does not teach that government has the authority to take away from you in order to help someone else that's not doing what they're supposed to be doing. And that's called stealing. And yes, we believe in paying taxes, and yes, they're a necessary part of our life. We understand that. But to the degree of this idea in the name of social justice, we understand it is certainly abused. And we are accused, and by the way, we know where that spirit comes from. Satan's always trying to divide people. In this interview, in light of today's social justice movements, the question was, in what ways do you think some of today's social justice movements are coming from a framework that is not compatible with the Bible? What would that be? So he said, good question. There are a bunch of ideologies, he said, inspiring much of what is called social justice. As I mentioned earlier, neo-Marxism, critical race theory, postmodern deconstructionism, queer critical theory, and gender theory, to name a few, he says. Let me offer three ways to discern between these ideological versions of justice and biblical justice. And I can give you the reference here if you'd like it. But he said, number one, it is not compatible if a view of justice blames all evil on external systems of oppression while ignoring Solomon's pride-deflating insight that our own hearts are full of evil and moral insanity. Then it's not biblical injustice. In other words, one that says it has nothing to do with man's sinful heart. If it denies that. He says a biblical worldview sees evil not only in systems where we ought to seek justice, yes, but also within the twisted hearts of those who make those systems unjust. Because evil resides in every human heart, all the external activism in the world won't bring about any lasting justice if we downplay our need for the regenerating, love-infusing work of God through the gospel. That's where the rubber meets the road, brethren. That's what we're for. We believe in reaching out and making a great effort. We believe in equality. We believe in equal opportunity and giving people an opportunity to work hard and apply themselves and to help those that are hurting. We believe that, but we believe the greatest way we're going to help this community of Jackson County and beyond is getting them the gospel. And Jesus in no way wanted us to replace the gospel with a social gospel. Because that becomes the wrong kind of gospel. That becomes what he called it in Galatians, that becomes another gospel. And that's heresy. That is not is what's going to save people's lives, because I know when God changes the heart, boy, things change. People change. There's a sweet unity. I mean, you look at even the example of Ephesians chapter 2, where it said God, Paul was painting that picture of what had happened because of the gospel. All these different groups were brought under one head, Jesus Christ, and it was slave and non-slave, and it was different ethnicities. It was Greek, and it was Jew, the Jew and Gentile, and so on, these different groups that were all brought in together under one head. And listen, this idea of systemic racism, that it never can be done away with. There always has to be an oppressor. No, I want to tell you what the Bible teaches is that there is hope, there is a remedy, and it's called the gospel. It's called the gospel. His name is Jesus. And he will unite. Secondly, he said in answer to that question, if a view of justice deconstructs relationships in terms of power differentials and argues that all such hierarchies are evil and must be abolished in the name of equality, then it's not biblical justice. He says a biblical worldview totally opposes the sinful abuse of power. That's true. But sees, the Bible recognizes many hierarchies, like the parent-child, rabbi, disciple, elders, congregation, teacher-student relationships, as part of God's good design for human flourishing. But this idea of equality, in the sense of throwing out God's guidelines of leadership and roles, biblical roles that honor Him and that teach submission and simply being led and encouraged, they throw out. Thirdly, he said, if a view of justice interprets all truth, reason, and logic as mere constructs of the oppressive class, it encourages us to dismiss someone's viewpoint on the basis of their skin tone or gender, then it's not biblical justice. In other words, the greatest commandment calls people from every ethnicity and gender to love God with all that we have. Our minds, which includes truth-seeking, reasonable, and logical parts of our God-given minds. A mind that loves the Father and assesses ideas based on their biblical fidelity, truth value, and evidence, not the group identity of those articulating it. In other words, we understand that these ideas that are going to be based upon the systems, and the authority is going to be the system, which, by the way, when it comes right down to it, what they want to teach, you know who they want to be the authority? The government. Marxism, and that is the basis of these, and going into this type of social justice, they believe that the government will be able to fix all of these problems. The government, they want, now get this, because this is just, they may not use the same terminology, but they would, because they don't, a lot of them are atheist, but they want the government to be God. They want the government to be sovereign. Because the government knows what's best for everybody. The government will be able to fix all these issues. That's what they teach. But not God. Don't consider God. And by the way, any social justice that tries to teach that social justice can happen apart from God, it ceases to be biblical justice. We just need to be discerning about it. We need to be able to have these discussions with the love of God with people. Because what a lot of these people want is they want there to be animosity against one another. But I think we really got to step above that and just give truth and love and show forth that Jesus is the one that's going to make a difference. They redefine it as justice with no God. They believe in deconstructing traditional systems that they deem oppressive. Here's some ideological social justice says. The human mind defines what is ultimately real. God doesn't exist. Truth is subjective. It's personal. There's no objective truth. Our identity is socially determined. Humans are products of their race, sex, and gender identity. They would teach that our fundamental problem is oppression, which we would say our fundamental problem is sin. It's sin. They teach victims are morally innocent and do not require salvation. Oppressors can never be fully pardoned, but partial salvation is available if they confess their complicity in oppression and support the revolution. As I said before, you disagree, they will make you pay. And then they're the oppressed. They also believe the notions of objective truth, reason, logic, evidence, and argument are discredited tools that oppressors employ to maintain their power. How twisted is this? We gain knowledge of truth through victims who, based on their lived experience of oppression, have greater insight than oppressors. So again, this goes out from what they teach, logic, evidence. And there's no doubt, through the centuries since the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, human beings have been treated horribly at times in all different ethnicities. I mean, talk about the Romans. And what they had as slaves and different ones. And there's been those seasons of humanity where it's been seen and witnessed at its worst. And no one denies that. It was awful. And we should learn from it and realize, as God's people, we do stand against that. We believe that we are all to be treated equally, in the sense that we are all made in the image of God. And there's a decent dignity and respect that we owe to one another. And this is what it boils down to. If you want to know social justice for the believer, you want to know biblical social justice for the believer, it is this. What Jesus said: first, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And secondly, love thy neighbor as thyself. That's it in a nutshell, brethren. So you're in a good discussion with a friend that is taken by this wokeism that detaches itself from the authority of God's word. God teaches to love each other as we love ourselves. That's the foundation. Love my neighbor, no matter what color, what background, what kind of job they may have. I am to go and show them the love of Christ and to treat them like I would treat my own family. So understand, brethren, if you are defined solely by your status, race, sex, gender, class, then you have no connection or shared reality with people of a different status. Race, sex, gender, class is what they teach. You can't relate. And as Nancy Piercy would clarify this, social justice reduces individuals to puppets of social forces, powerless to rise above the communities to which they belong. I tell you right now, it goes back to, again, what they're teaching in the schools about evolution. Darwin believed in what I believe is titled eugenics. He believed this. This is him, this is quoted. You read in his the books that he wrote. I didn't write down the title of his most famous, but in one of his most famous writings on evolution, he wrote that he believed in preserving, now get this, the superior race. The stronger race. And he believed in lower, inferior races. But that's the big difference. As creationists, we believe that we're all created equal. Let that be your foundation going forward. Encourage those that are around you and be the difference, be the light. Yes, this woke movement around us, they take scripture, they twist it. And what they'll say is, you know, this LGBT plus Q and that even equate that as a racism issue. That's not a racism issue. That's a moral issue. We can't help with the color that we were born with. The gender and the color, the ethnicity, the race, everything, you were created where you were, it was made up when you were conceived. Your DNA is God chosen. But everything we see under this ungodly social gospel, the one I'm talking about here that is not founded on the scriptures, it all goes back to that, friend. It always goes back to basically saying with the fist, we don't need God. Now, there are many that would ascribe to this social wokeism, even in some believers, and would I say that they're all shaking their face in the face of God? No, I didn't say that. But what I'm saying is that's what this teaching is saying. And some of them are very ignorant of it. They don't know. And ask them, do you know what Marxism is? Do you know what he teaches? Do you know what it's based off of? These are questions, discussions you need to have. And no one needs to apologize for what color they are. That's not social justice. We all need to be thankful that we're all fearfully and wonderfully made. No one's inferior here. No one's superior here. We are all equals. And thank God that the ground at the foot of the cross is level. So the best way that we can change our world is not going to be through the United States government. Although I'm thankful for our government. The best way to change this world is going out of these doors and proclaiming and living the gospel of Jesus Christ. Love those people beside you. Build relationships with them. Seek to point them to the cross where they will be freed. Be patient, be forgiving, be loving, be kind, be respectful, be considerate, be forbearing. Do not be resentful. They need to see that in us. And as I've said before, even though they adhere to these things, practice these things, do not hate the person. We must train ourselves as believers, because even those of us that get saved and born again, we still have a tendency, because of that sin nature, to do wrong. And so I want to close with this right here. Please, this is my last exhortation even tonight in this way. This is what we need to ask the Lord to keep us and to protect us at all cost. Lord, help us to never hate people. I don't care if they claim to be one of the now 47 different genders. No matter where they've been, what they've done, we need, as God's people, to say, God, give us a love for them like you have for them. Never agreeing with their ideology and their philosophy. Speaking against that in love, taking a stand against that, not apologizing about being against it, even if they do call us haters. No, you love them. Love the person. We can hate the practice and love the person. God will use us greatly, church, if we do that in a mighty way. It'll be a difference maker. We believe in social justice, but we believe in biblical social justice. We believe in God's way of reaching the people around us with the love of Christ. Let's pray. Father, I feel in no way that I could exhaust and even begin to get into the deep things of this subject. But Lord, I just believe studying it, it is a twist that Satan has tried to use to divide your people, to turn even the creator, the creation, the human beings against one another. And Lord, I just know with all of my heart, this is not in any way going to solve racism. But Lord, I know what these people are teaching are only going to enhance it. Until we come to the point of realizing, Lord, that racism exists because we have a sin problem. And it's a sin against you, God. And then it's a sin against one another. And I just pray that we would go out of here with the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and that we would show, God, what you intended to bring people together. And that's the cross. That's that empty tomb. That's the wonderful power of the Holy Spirit. God, would you do this in our church? Would you help us, Lord, to make sure we're doing our part as individuals and as a church are reaching out in our community? Oh, God, please, I beg you to give us great strength in this hour to do what you've called us to do. For it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.